Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hi, welcome to Teaching Tuesday. This is psychic medium Renee Richards, and it's take two. I'm here with Elaine Rayner, who is a multi-gifted psychic medium, healer, and artist. And she's a very dear friend also, so I'm so glad that she is here with me. She's a wonderful person. So I would like to read you what Elaine has written. My first awareness of the spirit world was at the age of 3. I had heightened senses about people, places, and the elementals. I always spent much of my time in the crack between the worlds. It was a natural place for me to go. My ancestry is European. My maternal side is Czechoslovakian, and paternal side is Romanian. My paternal grandmother, Bessie, accessed psychic information through her dream state. She was paramount to me, as I intuitively knew she understood me and my world. I was devastated when my grandmother suddenly died, and I was only 6 years old. I have always seen, felt, and heard her with me from the other side, which has been a saving grace. I learned early on there is no real death of the soul or spirit, only the vehicle which houses the physical form. I have many dear friends and family members who are on the other side, including my father, who always has my back. I am ever so grateful for the regular visitations in my life. I receive daily guidance, strength, laughter, inspiration, and comfort along with the love that they have for me. Undeniably, their love is ever present. So I welcome Elaine. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I
would like her to tell us about her healing certifications, acupressure, and so go ahead, because I can't say them.
I'm certified in two different forms of acupressure meridian therapy. That's like acupuncture without the needles. And the two different forms I'm certified in is called Jinshin Dao and Yimei Qigong. And the other certification is alchemical hypnotherapy. It's similar to doing journeying work. Clinical hypnotherapy just has a different lean to it. They're both wonderful, but the alchemical really spoke to me because it's much more on the metaphysical bent, and that's my lean. So, and I became a Reiki master. That was back in, I don't know, I believe it was. And I worked with some shamans, a Peruvian shaman, Oscar Moreau Quesada, as well as a Hawaiian shaman. Who else?
Grandmaster Fu Wei Zhong.
Oh, is that right? That's who I got my certification with in Yimei Medical Qigong.
Oh, wow. And then you had several Native American shamans and wisdom keepers that since you were a child. So you have been seeing spirit for a long time.
A very long time.
Right.
I was consciously made aware at the age of 3. I mean, that's when I could first speak to it, that, oh, yeah, I used to talk with them all the time. And I just thought everybody did. But then nobody was talking like they were, so I did to myself.
That's so cute. I know that feeling. You think that since it happens to you, you know, because you're your whole reality pretty much and your parents, but forget them. And but, yeah, you think everyone is like you, and then you kind of figure it out that, oh, not everybody sees and hears all this stuff. So now tell us what happened in 1999 with the Dalai Lama.
In 1999 was when I went on a healing trip that was organized, and people from all over the world signed up for it. So I flew to India because I just knew I needed to be a part of this group. And we were doing a lot of shamanic techniques, a lot of meditation. And our goal that we had was to somehow meet with the Dalai Lama. And so we meditated. And on the second day, a guru who at the time he was 67 years old, and he scaled mountains like he was a gazelle, the most elegant, agile man I'd ever seen. And he said he was in meditation and had a vision about our group and was instructed to come be with us. And he became a guide for us and took us to some very sacred sites. While this was all going on, there was a big holiday. I can't remember the name of the holiday, but you had to be given an invitation in order to get in. And the Dalai Lama was speaking, and they had a VIP area because he was speaking in his native tongue, so they had translators. And all of a sudden, these invitations arrived for each and every one of us. We still don't know how that happened, but we got them. And we went, and we thought that we hit the jackpot, like, does it get any better? Well, it actually did, because when we were leaving Ladakh, which that's at the northern border of the Tibetan-Himalayan border, and then we were going to go to Dharamsala, which happens to be where the Dalai Lama lives, we board the plane, and who's on the plane? His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. We couldn't believe it. And, you know, it was like, oh, my God. It was just like one miracle after another. And he asked us why our group came to India. What was the purpose? And we said because we really wanted to learn about the compassion. Because I tell you what was so stunning. You would see little children, 3 years old, 4 years old, walking hand in hand, arm in arm, such love. It was unbelievable, and it just permeated everywhere. And when he heard that we wanted to take the teachings back, he invited us to his house for a private audience with him. So
wow.
That was pretty miraculous.
And then somebody gave you a name.
Yes, it wasn't the Dalai Lama. It was he's the second in line. The Rinpoche that I was blessed to have met as well. I got clear instruction, and mind you, I'm not a very outward person,
mm-hmm.
and I kept hearing, "Ask him for your Tibetan name," and I thought, "You gotta be kidding me." We're all sitting in quiet meditation. I'm not getting, and he doesn't speak the language. I had to get the translator. Well, my guides would not leave me alone. They said, "Get up now." And I was like, oh, my God. And I got up, and I went to the translator and I said, "Please excuse me." I said, I'm being guided to ask this, and please forgive me if it's out of line, but my guides are telling me, and so I'm following through. I've been told I need to receive my Tibetan name. I said, could you translate that for me? And they did immediately, and he immediately gave me my Tibetan name with the biggest hug and the biggest smile, and it happens to be his name, Labsang Shodan, that he gave me the female version of his name.
Oh, wow.
I know, I nearly passed out. I was like, I thought I was going to get, like, young budding tree or something like that. And I was like, oh, how am I ever going to live up to this one, you know? So I've got my work cut out for me, but it was pretty amazing.
So Corrine in the chat room has asked, what does it mean?
Your heart light in the Dharma.
Pure heart. And I will tell you, so I met Elaine. Did I give you a reading on Blog Talk? Is that how we met? How the heck did we meet? All I know, go ahead.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, and then you contacted.
Because we just knew, it was like we knew each other. You know, you were like, I know you, and I know you, you know, on another level.
And then, but it was when I looked at your picture, I was so overwhelmed, it brought tears to my eyes, and I could feel it. It was so strong. The love was so incredible. And I thought, and this peacefulness that came from it, and I was like, what is this? You know, what's going on? And I knew it was just connecting at a real deep soul level, that maybe a lot of the things that you had been through, I just had this instant knowing of you. And I almost feel like your family, you know, I get that. It's like, I feel this, it was just so much love. And I was like, wow, this is really special. And so then we were friends after that. And she has to kick me in the butt every now and then, because everybody knows how I am about phone calls. She'll send me, it's been 2 months or 3 months, and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, okay. And I have to really make an effort. I just have this problem with, and even like time, you know, time goes by. I don't realize how much time goes by. So you were 3 when all this started happening, about 3 years old. And then you just thought it was normal. But then when did you know that you went, uh-oh, I'm different?
Well, I want to stay in the 3 year age category, because I was also talking with the elementals. Like I would talk with the oak trees and the pine trees and pine cones and rocks all the time. Like, they were my friends. It was just natural. And when I was in first grade, I remember it was recess, and I went running outside because there were woods there, and the honeysuckles were in bloom, and they were talking to me, and they were like my friends. I couldn't wait to go talk with them. They had a lot to tell me, and I went running and talking to the honeysuckles, and my teacher yelled at me, and it really dampened my spirit, because I felt like I was scolded for talking with my friends, the flowers, mm-hmm. and she didn't understand, but it really impacted me.
Ah, so you knew to start keeping it quiet, right?
Absolutely, yep. So from that time, I really kept it, you know, close to my heart, and I was like, well, nobody else is talking to me that they talk to acorns and pine cones and flowers, and they see spirits. I went real quiet for a real long time.
When did your parents know what you were experiencing? And, you know, how old were you, like, when you confided in your mother? Because you had wonderful parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm so blessed. Well, my dad's in spirit. My mom, thankfully, is still here, and we're as close can be. I tested the waters, because when I was 14, I got very interested in astrology, and I thought, oh, this is just the best. And I thought, this will fly, you know, because it's scientific. You know, I'll talk about astrology in my family. And the dinner table, I have an older brother, 3 years older, and we always talked at the dinner table. We're a very close-knit family. And I broached the subject, and I quickly got, this isn't flying either, you know. And, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go about my business, you know, because they just, my father came from a very scientific background. His father was an inventor. So there was that. My mother was very intuitive, but closed that down. It's now reopened. So it wasn't until much later in life, I'm going to say, actually, not until 1990.
Wow.
And when I said, I just started doing readings, and I said, I'm quitting my job. And they said, what? you have a steady paycheck, and you have health insurance, and you're just going to quit and do readings? And I said, yes, I am. And I told myself, when I turned 35, I was working for a dentist for a very long time, and I told myself, when I turned 35, I'm giving him notice, and that's that, and I'm going to move into, you know, doing my psychic work and my healing work, and I haven't looked back since. When my father really got me in that way. He was always very supportive of me in many, many ways. But that world to him was a bit foreign. Well, when he was ill and he was going to transition, throughout that whole process, I was doing energy work on him. And the first time, well, my mother, I used to work on my mother, so she was open to that. And my brother, my mom would say, oh, she'd say to my dad, oh, honey, you have to feel this. Her hands get so hot. It feels so good. I'm so relaxed. And he was like, I'm happy for you, but no thank you. Then when he got ill, I just went, that's it. I'm going to start working on him. And the first time I worked on him, he looked at me and said, now I know.
Oh, ooh, I got chills. Now I know.
Yeah. So beautiful. So, so beautiful. And I continued, you know, with him throughout the journey of his, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really beautiful. And my mother is still a big cheerleader. And so it's good. It just took a long time because it was, you know, foreign, you know, and nobody back then really, you know, mainstream wasn't talking about it very much. It's certainly not like what it is today.
No, not at all. Yeah. It was hush hush. It was things, like my mother would get readings every now and then. And it wasn't something, she wouldn't even tell my father or anything like that. You know, it was just real hush hush, but it was something that she loved to talk about. Now, what happened that spurred your spiritual gifts? There was some block you had to,
Yeah, I, like I mentioned, I came from a very loving family, very close-knit family, though my personal relationships in the dating world, not friendships, but dating, I had a string of very abusive relationships. It just didn't add up. It didn't make sense to me. Why would I be attracting this?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought something must have happened. Like there's some piece of information. And then I realized I've got emotional amnesia. There's something here. And I set out to discover what it was. And that was in 1990. And that's when I worked with a hypnotherapist. And I went to several psychics also.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I started to get glimmers. It started to unravel, and I went, I was abused. I bet I was raped. I mean, I just had that feeling. And I went to several people, and nobody validated it. So then I was feeling really very out there. I was like, I was so sure, and no one's validating, and now I just really don't get what's happening here. But I kept on. I was like, I know I'm right, and these people, for whatever reason, it was what it was, and I kept on. And then I became a certified alchemical hypnotherapist in 91, and it all came to me, I mean, with great detail. And I was, thank you, I knew it. And I think the reason that others didn't validate me was for me to own my power and to stay in my truth, even though others were not seeing it as such. And, you know, that was pretty foreign for me back then, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I always felt the pain of the world. I always talked to spirit. As a little girl, I never understood why there has to be so much pain and suffering. And then I realized, wow, I had some of my own. You know, and the healing and the freedom that I experienced, you know, from my personal healing journey, I just knew that I needed to help others in any way that I could. And my whole life has always been about attracting animals as well as people, or they just show up. And then I can help them in any way that I can, and that's always been a part of my path.
So then the hypnotherapy going through that was really beneficial. It really brought all of it forward. And then, you found your power in that, right. And you found that on your own, in your own way, at your own time. And I think that's really an important clue for a lot of people, because you can try to talk to people or show people, and they won't be ready. And sometimes, they are to find it on their own, like you did. And that.
We, our path of service, it's a huge responsibility.
It is, and
if a person isn't ready, it can be very damaging for to have whatever the information is. But if an individual isn't ready to process that, it could really set them back. And you know, that's not the point of healing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about having as much grace as one can, you know, on one's journey to hold.
Right.
On.
Yeah. And that's amazing how our subconscious is where it completely blocked it out so you didn't have to deal with it. But you knew that that block was there and it really was serving a purpose for you.
Absolutely. That,
yeah, a very strong, heavy purpose. And then in turn, that gives you more compassion, more understanding for other people and love. And so, I can just see a real benefit in it. And I also find it interesting that a lot of psychic mediums didn't see that in you because your soul was not presenting that yet. That was for you to learn. And they weren't, it wasn't being presented in your energy, you know, when they were doing readings. So that's interesting too. It just validates what I pretty much believe.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Very frustrating, you know, because you know, mm-hmm. I thought I finally figured it out, you know, and I did, you know.
And let's see, I've got so many questions. So now you've been on this journey and started doing readings in 1990?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the older you get, do you feel the stronger your abilities have become?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who I was then and what I was able to offer then, though good, is very different than who I have become. So I mean, I think it's almost like I think I can equate it to going to school, you know, and you graduate different grades. And you learn something with each year. You know, it's an unfoldment. For me, anyway. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that it just came to them and that's how they are, but that hasn't been my journey. You know, I've connected deeper and deeper with my team. I've connected deeper with myself. So you put that together, and it's richer and it's more fulfilling. And like you said, everybody gets what they are meant to receive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it all served a purpose. You know, my clients way back then, you know, were happy with my service. But like I said, if you were to put me side by side, Elaine in 1990 and Elaine now, vastly different.
Yes, yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, about every week it kind of changes with me. 1 week it's this way, the next week. It just gets deeper and deeper. And what I notice is it's getting more cosmic, more galactic. It's getting bigger and bigger, you know. And for a long time, I wouldn't allow that. So was there a time when you were afraid of your abilities? I mean,
I don't,
because I don't really sense that, because it was like with the elementals and all that, they gently brought you in. It was so loving and kind, you know. Did you ever have a time like...
if you bring me animals, that's great. You know, bring me trees, bring me the wind, bring me insects, bring me all of that. I'm happy as I can be. But bring me a human, you know, a person sitting on the edge of my bed that I'm not expecting to be there, I'm going to freak out a little bit. I mean, and that's, you know, that's what happened to me. And that was, when was that? That was in the mid-90s. And I was in bed sleeping, and I had a visitation, and I bolted. I mean, I screamed so loud. I mean, because I was like, who is this? I didn't invite you. Who are? And it scared me. It really scared me, you know. So,
yeah.
And I had several of those. I was in a bed and breakfast one time, and it was foolish of me because I walked into the room, and I saw a departed one, but plain as day, you know how that is. And he was sitting in the chair, and he was reading the newspaper. And I said hi to him. I didn't ask him to leave, and so he stayed, you know. And I just went about my business. Well, come nightfall, I go to bed. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody's, and I'm alone. I didn't have anybody. And he gets under the covers, and I feel his foot again. And I was like, no, 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 this is not okay. So, you know, so I've had things like that, you know, are a bit unnerving for sure.
Yeah, that can be a bit unnerving. So how did you get over that? How did you get over the fear, and how did you kind of take control of the situation? You know, I mean, at a point you have to say, that's enough, and boundaries.
I learned to use my voice, just like as an empath, feeling everything that I was feeling in the world, and I didn't know that I could ask not to feel that. And an example, one day I was leaving my apartment and there was a very bad wreck and I felt what happened to the person and I just wept. It just rocked me to my core. And at that moment, I just asked, I said, please, if I can't do any good, if I can't be of service, please don't bring me that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, and I didn't have a formal teacher. You know, my unfoldment was more on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much with the certification and with healing, but I did that for my own advancement because I was already healing, but I couldn't call myself that per se, you know. But with the readings and my empathy, it was always there, and I didn't know that I can ask not to receive certain things.
Right.
Back in 1991, I believe, yes, when I was doing the hypnotherapy, I was actually working with the police for a while on some murder cases, and I would describe with great, great detail what had happened to these people that were murdered. And it got to me so badly that I had to stop. But it was me learning to use my voice and saying, I'm not meant to do
this.
I can pick and choose and still feel like I'm really helping, you know, whether it's the animals or people, but helping in a way that when I go to bed at night, my heart is so full, and I have a smile on my face, and I have... But I had to learn.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And those, any murder cases like that, the emotion of the whole thing... can be awfully overwhelming, that's for sure. So what do you like to do the best? Do you like mediumship, psychic, all of it, or healing? What is the best thing that you like to do?
I would say that recipe right there describes me well because they all fulfill me in different ways.
Mm-hmm. So, all of it, yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
It's the same thing like when I give a reading, you're really getting it all. I mean, I do, I have clearing and healing work on the website, but really you're getting it all.
Many times, you've seen this a bazillion times, many times in readings, tremendous healing happens, which is
right.
The same as, you know, the energy work healing that I do. So
right.
It doesn't matter what the form is, I just care that the people benefit from it, you know, and feel better for it, you know, however it comes in.
Right, right. And that's the important thing. I know, like with acupressure, have you read Tea Garden's book? Is that Jin Chin Dao?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Oh, I use her acupressure points and the meridians and all that, and I just use it with energy, I just place energy on people's bodies at the points. Like I look at the picture of the points, the pressure points, and then with my energy I go, it's them. And then I go in and do it that way. And I never had any formal teaching really of that. It was almost natural because, you know, like, when you look at a picture or something, I really respond to that. And so I use that, the picture. I guess it's more of a subconscious thing, and that, it, that healing is, and I've never taken Reiki or anything like that, but, it just, it comes so naturally. So that, I think that's one of the most important things is how natural a lot of this was for you. Yes, you fine tuned it by becoming a Reiki master and doing your hypnotherapy and the other, you know, acupressure. But it's such a good well rounding of everything, you know? And I think that's so important. Now, how the heck did you get to doing the spirit paintings? These paintings, these incredible paintings.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I, from the time I was little, I've loved art, and I thought maybe that was going to be my path. And then I discovered, I am not very confident at all. So I let that go. And then I revisited that when I graduated from high school, and I went to art college for a year and dropped out because it was terrible. The experience was terrible. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do art as a hobby whenever I feel it. And I let it go for decades. I just let it go. And then in 1990, 1991 was a really pivotal time for me because I was renting a house. And I felt really compelled to take my easel out on the in the yard and start painting. And then, okay, so this is probably going to sound maybe odd to people, and I get that. But I was doing watercolors, and I totally started to channel in my body buffalo. Now, buffalo spirit is very dear to me, so it's not odd to me. Though what I was experiencing in my body as a buffalo, and I was very vocal, I was very loud, and I thought, oh, my God, what are people going to think? And I thought, I don't care. I don't care. And that was an opening for me to do spirit paintings. And that was really stepping fully out of myself and letting spirit come through.
Mm-hmm. Out of the comfort, out of your comfort zone, and
absolutely,
and just totally surrendering. So this one picture that we have, I think it's she has green eyes with all the watercolors.
Yes,
that is just stunning. Your work is stunning. How did that come about to be painted? I mean, was that somebody you saw?
Well, no, that was totally channeled as well.
Right, but did you see it in spirit, or did you just feel the energy come down and it just worked through with your hands and the colors? And
I actually worked with a woman. Her name is White Hawk, and she was instrumental in getting me out of my way because my innate inclination is as a photorealist artist. I
like,
love detail, so it looks just like a photo.
Mm-hmm. I have one of those up with the chimpanzee.
Okay, yeah, Harry. And so, my name's Harry. But when I met White Hawk, we hit it off right away because she was steeped in Native American, and that's very dear to my spirit. And she said, you just got to get out of your own way and just be intuitive. Just don't even think about it. Just grab a color. And that was so freeing for me. And I was like, wow. And then I put it away for a while again, many years. And then it just opened back up where when I do the spirit paintings, I have no idea what it's going to be, truly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just look at the canvas and I don't have, and I just pick up colors. And I just go. It just and it becomes. It totally comes through me. I'm not looking at anything. It just happens. which is very different than the photorealism, which I
very
think,
much.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The detail in the photorealism is absolutely amazing. Harry is just adorable. He just speaks. And the other one feels so spiritual. I mean, and there's all kinds of people and things in there. It's just beautiful.
The channeled art is also a healing tool for people, and it's multi-layered, and there's so many images within images, and some are more obvious. And mm-hmm. like I sat with some of my paintings, and years later go, I never saw that before. and the beauty also, too, of the spirit paintings is for people who are not necessarily drawn to psychic work, mediumship,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, for whatever reason. But art speaks to people on a whole nother level. So they are getting healing through images, through colors, but not necessarily aware of it for some folks, you know. So I think it was another way for spirit to say, here's how you can also do healing work without it being in the traditional hands-on, let's say, type of thing.
Right, right. And I agree, because pictures attract me and I learn from them. That's the same thing that these are doing. So people can contact you then to do spirit paintings?
Yeah, they can, sure.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine what mine would look like.
I don't know. It's always a surprise to me, too, because, again, it's not me, you know, doing it.
Right, right, yeah. So, that's true.
Sometimes it takes a really long time, I just have to say. Some people I perhaps can knock them out, but the way I work with spirit, it's a very slow process, because I really can't explain it. I absolutely have to connect with spirit and step aside.
Mm-hmm.
But I might one day only put 4 strokes on a canvas because that's the only information that's coming through. I'm clearly not in charge. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah, yeah, I do. You know, I understand. Yeah.
So it's not like I can say, oh, I can have it done in a week, because that wouldn't be fair, you know, because I can't, you know, unless spirit changes, spirit works with me, you know. But right now it's a slower process.
Mm-hmm.
To complete a piece. And sometimes it's indicative of where a person is in their life, that certain information hasn't come forward yet, but it needs to be a part of the painting. So it's really fascinating.
It is. It's interesting. I'm just looking. I have the one of the, I think it's a wolf. Is that one a wolf from your website?
Mm-hmm.
Or a coyote? Wolf, okay. Yeah, he's beautiful.
Is it the painting and he's got a bird on his head?
I think so. And there's like an opening with 4 figures.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And now see, I don't see the bird on his head. Everybody else sees it in the chat room.
People what to see, because I just don't, but I wanted to make sure I knew what piece you were talking about, and that's what came to my mind.
Yeah, yeah. And well, they see it. I see a hunting dog on top of his head, so I think a hunting dog was after him at one point. So way up there, I kind of do see a bird. It's just beautiful. And then the one with the light, too. Oh, that one makes me sweat. I can't even look at it. What was going on with the channeling of that one with that light?
Now, which one are you referring to?
On your website, and it's got a yellow center with the white light coming through.
Oh, it's got heart in it. That's called Hope and Healing. It's a healing mandala that I channeled, and it's called Hope and Healing. So it's really infused with that energy.
Yeah, I can feel that. I mean, it really makes me sweat. So, I mean, it's doing something. It's very warm.
Yeah.
I can feel it. Ooh, I could use that. Yeah, and somebody says they can see a palm behind the light. A hand, right? The palm of a hand?
not going to tell whatever, you know, what somebody sees and what somebody experiences is right and true for them, you know.
Right. That is so true. Somebody else will see something, somebody else, and it is a message specially for them. So that's what is so amazing. That's just another opening for you to get messages through, you know, and that's, I just love that. I just, oh, this one is one of my favorite, the elephant. With her head bowed, head, you know, forehead to forehead.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Now, that's not one of my originals. That's why it says a version of, and that was a show called Ashes and Snow. It was
A
photography show that, I mean, uh-huh. It my knees. It just so touched me. And I just wanted to do, you know, my version of that. And
oh, my God, it's gorgeous. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had seen a picture of that, and I went off into ashes and snow for a long time. And remember I told you I would listen. I think I was talking to you about it, that every time I hear you, I think you introduced me to that. Every time I hear the intro with that voice, I start crying. Instantly, and I'm just, it makes me, if I would have had gone to that, I probably would have fainted or something, because it touched me so much. The photography, the way it was filmed, everything. If anybody can go look that up online, what is it, Ashes and Snow?
Ashes and Snow. Oh, it really was a phenomenal exhibit. Yeah, I bought the DVD of it because, I mean, it just so touches the soul on such a deep, deep level.
It does, and I think, you know, I kept saying it's so overwhelming to me, and you said it's the bliss. You know the bliss. You feel it. You sense it. You know that that's what you're touching into. And that peaceful bliss, and oh, it was so perfect, and it still to this day makes me want to go listen to, I used to even play that on my show, the intro to that, because a place of bliss, and I was just, so some things are so powerful, and art is one of them, and the way that whole thing, this is just gorgeous, it's just gorgeous, yeah, I love it, love, 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 everybody loves it in the chat room too. Yeah, it's now. Oh, that was it. I didn't have any more on the website, or I would have put more up, because they were just. And even the one with the chief, it doesn't show all the feathers that are at the bottom of that painting that I'm showing. There are such detail, which Elaine is amazing at. Just the detail is incredible.
Oh, yeah. There's one more image on the website that people can see, and that's the one with the dog with one eye.
Oh, right. You'll still have that on there if it doesn't get sold. Because I think things are moving. Oh, yeah, and you did study painting, but you didn't really study it all that much.
I didn't study painting. What I did is, like I said, I took that 1 year in art college, and if you look at my portfolio, you'll see a lot of profanity and a lot of scribbling, because I was very frustrated because I did not get the training. I wanted technical training, and the instructors that I had, there were two that were pretty decent for what I was looking for, and then the others, we were just not in the same ballpark at all. And then fast forward to, I think it was 2005. Yeah, 2005. I studied with someone for 7 months, and that was a foundational piece. And I would have stayed longer, but his personality I found hurtful. And I thought, I cannot do this. I'm not going to do it. And I left. So so that was the piece I got from him. It was about 7 months. And that was foundational with drawing and then some painting.
So now you're doing readings. You do psychic readings, blah, 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 and mediumship, and probably a culmination of the whole thing, I would think.
I do.
And, what is it that, so what's in the future? What's in the future for you as far as that? Keep going.
This is who I am, you know. So as long as I'm on the planet, I'm going to be doing that recipe, you know.
Right.
I'm sure it will be augmented and enhanced along the way because we talked about that earlier. You know, we shift and change and expand. But the bones of my work, it's been in place for a really, really long time.
And I really feel the older you get, the better it gets. Everything gets better. I think that the focus, and I mean, I love the young psychic mediums, coming up, and I've been mentoring a few here and there, and they are amazing. But, and a lot of them, are even spiritually aware of the more in-depth teachings, you know, on like a cosmic, universal level. They understand that. But yet there always has to be this bridge, I think, that bridges you to it emotionally, from what you've gone through in your life. And so what they always ask, well, what do I do? What do I do? I said, you get yourself your first grounding techniques and centering. And you start doing your own work, and then you live your life. You live your life. You have a good time. You experience life because those life experiences give you the depth that you gather along the way, and then you use that. So I am amazed with some of them, but they need some depth, and that is just experience. But some, you know, it's so much more accepted now than it was, when we were young that, they're really coming out of the starting gate with a lot more confidence.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the children that are being born these days, oh my God, you just look into their eyes and some of them, I just look at them and go, you tell me, you know, you tell me because, some of them are just so wise beyond belief.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Very exciting. It's very, very exciting.
It is. I'm noticing changes all the time. Even a lot of, do you think that a lot of the mental illnesses, say depression and bipolar sometimes, and panic disorders, are sometimes people that actually have gifts that maybe have been, diagnosed? Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with some, and, you know, of course I'm not a doctor, but I'm in the realm that I'm in, and I've worked with some that were actually misdiagnosed as having certain this, that, and the other, you know, and by working with them, you know, it was discovered, you know, these are gifts you're accessing. Your guides, your angels, you're not crazy, you know, but you have to be careful with that because, you know, some people really are in need of other type of care, but I trust how my team works with me, and they would never have me say such a thing if it wasn't on point.
You know? Right. Yeah.
You know, and but to see the shifts and changes with some people, it's extraordinary. It's just extraordinary.
I have seen people that had panic disorders. They were empaths and had they would panic. Now, they wouldn't panic at the moment when they were meeting somebody, even though they were feeling all this. But it would get in their energy, and then later on, all of a sudden they would feel it even more because they weren't clearing themselves enough. So I've seen people that actually, when they do clearing work and centering work, it alleviates. It starts to go away. So, I've seen that.
The work that you do is is so, so foundational and so important.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
it is.
So
that's what
you do, what you do, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that go into it without the proper knowing, and it can change things dramatically, and sometimes it's not the most pleasant, you know. So I'm so grateful for the work that you do and how you do what you do.
Do what you do, and you do it. It is important work, though. It is. And there's lots of, I think that's what us old-timers are around for now, is to wrap our arms around the young ones and say, you know, it's okay. This is how we approach it. And a spiritual foundation is the number one most important thing. Because, you know, there's times when you run into some freaky readings, you know, now and then, and you have to be able to handle what you're seeing, feeling, and knowing coming from another person. How do you handle situations like that? Like if you're giving a reading and somebody has suffered some abuse, and maybe it was sexual abuse or just, you know, physical or emotional, and they have created some thought forms around them. How do you handle that?
Carefully.
Yeah, I know. Some of that can be pretty scary. That's why some of the younger psychic mediums, you know, they start to panic. Now, if you have your spiritual foundation, then you always go back to the spiritual foundation, and you feel protected within your mantle of light, or, you know, I'm sure you have your way of doing things also. Everybody has, you know, it's funny, we each do different modalities of touching into God or Source, and they're just slightly different, but they're kind of the same. So, like, what would you do for, and I hate to use the word protection, but to keep yourself encased in light as you're reading somebody that maybe has some baggage, let's say, or visitors that are not, you know, the ones
right.
you know, really
well,
want to.
For me, grounding is essential, which I figured it out because, again, I didn't have formal training, and it was through actually Rolfing that I felt my feet for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I know I have feet, but I never felt them on the ground, never. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and when I felt them, I was like, wow. And that was in the mid-90s when that happened. So from then on, I've been working with, you know, grounding myself has to be first and foremost. I have to have the anchor. I can't just be floating out there.
Mm-hmm.
And from establishing, you know, from on high to way down into Mother Earth and anchoring in, that's my foundational piece. Then I go in and make sure that my field is clean and clear. So I'll go through, I might do the violet flame as one that I normally is a go-to for me. So I make sure that I'm clear before I put my protections up. And then,
right.
Then I go into doing that because I don't want to close in things within me that I don't need to be holding on to, you know, whether it's my own end or someone else's. It's kind of all the same anyway, the way I look at it. So I clear it out, and then I do several rounds of it varies. I have my staple, but then depending on what kind of situation I'm walking into, the energy of the day. I mean, you know, there's a lot of nuances. I might,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll buffer up with different things if I need to, you know, but I always make it clear what is allowed and what isn't allowed.
Right.
I have to learn that because nobody taught me, you know, so I kind of learned the hard way, but I got there, you know. First.
And the interesting thing, too, is always setting the intent, like, or what your boundaries are. Like, I don't want to know, if somebody's going to die. I will never tell anybody, well, it looks like you're, I mean, I can't even imagine saying that. So I ask not to have that information. And also, when doing mediumship, if they died a violent death, I don't want to see it. You can tell me about it. We can talk about it. But I don't want to, have to see it. I just, because still to this day, if I saw it, I would just stare at it. And then, I'd be into that, seeing it and not doing what I need to do. It would just... it would just take too much for me and I'd get all mixed up. So yeah, I always set that intent. And but I think it's very rewarding. Like I was reading some of your testimonials and people are so thankful for the work that you do. And I know also as a doing it myself that it's very rewarding. And that you really can change lives. And so in that is that awesome responsibility that we all have to teach young mediums. It's all our responsibility to teach them that there are ethics. And so, yeah, that can that's very important. So some of these youngsters, I like to call them, which I have a lot of respect for, and love, ethics has to be all named out for them. And sometimes that can be a tricky thing too, you know? Like they'll say, well, can you tell me about my husband or my boyfriend? And I said, I can only tell you as it relates to you. You know, I'm not going to tell you, other things. Sometimes that can be tricky, don't you think? Do you ever get questions like that?
I do, yeah, or sometimes I might be working with a couple, and I have to ask them both, well, where is it okay for me to go? Because if I open the door and you're telling me not to edit, then you're going to get the information. Are you sure you want the information? And I make sure that both parties are in agreement with whatever the information is. But I personally won't cross the boundary. I won't do it. You know, I'm here to be of service in helping to heal and not create a bigger commotion in any kind of way, shape, or form.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I don't know if I lose people or not. I always have to double check. So I just think that, I know what I wanted to ask you. I always think this is a kind of funny question, but it's true. Like, do you think that Source or the universe or God, whatever you want to call it, has a sense of humor?
Absolutely.
I think so too.
I find myself laughing about things, and I think of my former self, how I used to be, and I would have never have laughed at some of the things that I laugh out now, and I'm so glad for it, you know, because there has to be levity. There just has to be, you know, and I'm so grateful that, you know, Spirit's got that humor. And some of my guides, I mean, not all of them do. Some of them are or can be a bit stern. But I absolutely, there's a sense of humor. Thank God for that.
Yeah, I get, I always get this joyful part and then of this energy. And then I think, you know, this is all joy and love and happiness. And it's so hard because sometimes you have somebody that's lost a child or a spouse or a mother or father they were very close to. And they're in so much pain and then their family member is having a good time. You know, I mean, they look beautiful. They're in this gorgeous light. They're at home. They're so peaceful and full of joy. And that communication can be so powerful for what they have to say to their loved one because, it can be so healing, but sometimes they make jokes, sometimes they high-five me, you know, or they'll say something, but there are those, too, that aren't so happy, but most of them are. And all the teachers I work with, you know, they're always so joyful. And so, and having a good time, you know, and laughing. And like if I trip and fall or I walk into a wall, which I do a lot, I'm not perfect. I'm not graceful. I'm like a bull in a china shop. And they laugh. I can hear laughing, and I get the biggest kick out of that because it's the whole message is don't take yourself too seriously here, okay?
Right. That was the point I was making, that earlier I took everything to heart. I still do, but I've learned to enjoy and not take everything so seriously, you know. And they, for the longest time, they were like, Elaine, lighten up, lighten up. And I was like, yeah, but, you know. There's this pain, there's this suffering, there's this, you know. And they're like, yes, and still,
yeah,
still enjoy. And so, you know, if I'm reading somebody and it's mediumship and their loved one has a great sense of humor, and I'm just tuning in, I haven't spoken yet to my client, and I'll just start cracking up. And then I look at my client and I'll just say, you know, because I'm going, I don't want them to think I'm being disrespectful, but their loved one is so funny and I can't get my words out yet. And then I explain to them, you know, so-and-so has a great sense of humor, and then they'll smile and say, yes, 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 you know, and then we're off running, you know.
It's a beautiful thing. It really is. I think I enjoy all of it too. I enjoy when I'm doing a reading and I notice my energy interacting with theirs, and it sometimes automatically, if it's okay with them, I start clearing their energy. That's fine. So there goes the energy work. And then you have the psychic reading, and then you have the mediumship intertwined, and you have talking to them on different levels of reality also going on. So, because all readings are multidimensional. And so all this is going on, and it is an amazing process. And I'm so glad we have you out there doing the work, because you're an amazing person, and I just love you to death, and I think
you
have thank you. And I think you have incredible compassion and love for people, and you're so gentle and kind, and I just am so thankful that you came on here tonight with me and we could have this chat. And we had a kerfuffle and we made it through that, and I certainly think it was worth waiting and going ahead and doing it and over again so we could get it right. But if anybody would like to go to Elaine's website and check her out, it's ElainePsychicHealer.net. And her phone number, if you'd like to book an appointment or talk with Elaine, is 404-252-4331. And she is a sweetheart. She is just a sweetheart. She's multi-talented. She's just incredible. She can do it all. And she's a good friend. I love her dearly. And she's patient with me, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, Elaine, would you like to say any final words or anything?
Just thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being patient with Intuitox bumping us out of the other one. So we'll have to see how this works. So I thank you all for being here, and I will talk to you next time. And don't forget the reading show on Saturday that I do on Blog Talk Radio, on Supernatural Radio, presented by PurplePlates.com, and it's the Renee Richards Show on Saturdays at 5 o'clock Pacific. Thank you. Good night.
Night.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.